Hi, welcome back to Agent Insider. I'm your host, Andy Jewell. Thank you for joining us this week. My guest today is Cole Brzenji from Brzenji Media and Production. How are you doing today, Cole?
Doing pretty good.
Awesome. Thanks for taking time to join us. You've started a media and production company. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that, your journey of starting the company and the big wide world of media and production, as in what we're doing right now.
Yeah. There's a lot to cover. It's a big field.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for about a year.
Yeah, just shy.
And what got you interested, or why media production companies?
Well, the original plan was for me to go into a completely different field that had no connection to media. Doing media was just something I was doing as a pastime, bit of a hobby. And then the wife and I, we started to realize that my prospects for work, where we were at, weren't quite coming to fruition the way that we thought. So we thought, well, what else is there to do? Well, it's doing a little bit of this already. So we thought, how hard could it be to start a production company? Turns out harder than we initially thought.
It's so easy. Everybody's doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy. I suppose every business owner kind of has the same story, but yep. Here we are.
Yeah. When I started insurance 19 years ago. And it was kind of the same thing. I worked for a big company. It was a union company, and I got laid off, and I was like, what am I going to do? Like, well, I'll start my own business, because then I'll be in control of my destiny and I'll take Fridays off. And that doesn't quite work the way you thought. A friend of mine actually told me, he's like, you know, the great part about being a small business owner is you work half days, and you get to choose which half of the day you want to work, the first 12 hours or the second 12 hours of every day.
Yeah. And it's gotta be 12. You don't get to get less.
Your days off are like 7 or 8, right?
Yeah.
So, well, what do you see? Like, what have you seen in the media production industry? You're based in Whatcom County, mm-hmm. Or, you know, Northwest Washington, because I know you've done stuff much further south down into Seattle and whatever. Yeah. What do you see as kind of the hole that you're filling, that the niche, the need that people maybe don't even realize is there that you're filling in?
I don't think people realize how little time it actually takes to have a strong media presence. And like, anyone can get out there and post on Facebook, and that's fine, but that's not especially impressive. To put your face in front of a camera and to record something, it is challenging, but it's never been easier than it is now. Now, one of the questions that people often run into, and they all kind of recognize that getting onto YouTube is really great for businesses, especially when so much of the business is the personality behind the business. But then we run into a bunch of issues like, well, how much is the equipment going to cost? How much do I have to learn to get these programs to work? And how long is it going to take me to get something that looks professional? Because oftentimes these are people that are really good in their fields, but the moment you tell them to make their own video, it looks like the best thing that a 16-year-old boy has ever put together just on a half afternoon day, which is to say it looks like junk. All that to say is that finding people that are able to come alongside your business, that are able to provide the equipment, the expertise, and to help you walk out what it is that you actually want and figure out is part of that. Figuring out what they want is part of the journey. Finding someone who's able to do that can be a great asset, because then you're not paying someone full time. You're just saying like, hey, I want to come in for 2 hours and I want to produce what's going to become a month's worth of promotional material for my business. And that's entirely doable, and it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah, I think listening to you, like, kind of thinking about that. So we work together, right? So no mystery here, full disclosure. Yeah. If you like my podcast and the way that my social media looks, that's what you've done for me. Mm. And you've been working on that with me for the past
8 months.
Eight months. And it is something that I've realized big companies, right? So Coca-Cola or somebody like that, I don't know if we're allowed to say brand names, but we're not endorsing them or just talking about them. They have whole divisions of media and marketing that's they hire people and are paying them six figures to put together plans of how I'm going to present on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, how we're going to not just the big TV commercials, but just the social media and in the community media. So you could hire people to do that. If you're a business and you're like, hey, I want to build a huge digital brand. You could totally do that. And that would be one way of going down that path. But like you said, right, there's expensive microphones, lights, cameras, computer programs. And then you either have to hire someone who's an expert or you have to become an expert. And we all know, like, you probably figured this out as a small business owner. There's so many pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where I've only been working seriously with cameras for a little while, because initially we didn't have to use a whole ton when I was just doing audio production. But then you get into cameras, you're like, okay, well, how important are color profiles really? Turns out they're really important, because you can either film in a raw cinema format, and most cameras do. No one thinks about it because, hey, it looks like the movies because you can see the colors. But normally for most cameras, you don't want to do that. You want to film in something that's called log. No one knows what log is. It's entirely boring. It looks almost black and white, and no one cares. But these are the things you kind of have to learn if you want to put out something that actually looks professional.
Right. So you could spend a lot of time, like you probably spent a large percentage of your time doing that research, I would assume.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say it's been the majority of what's helped the business become what it is now, but it's become a huge part of it. Just learning that professional development, how to do the job in a technical sense.
Which I think no matter what your business is, that's something you spend time on, right? So I do that in insurance. I spend a lot of time reading articles, a lot of time researching issues, reading policy backs, understanding what's changing and moving in the insurance industry, because it's important to stay relevant. And if you're a mechanic, right, like you're reading what's coming out on the new models of vehicles and how you have to change, like you understand what's changing from one year to the next to stay relevant and to stay connected, to be able to continue to operate at a high level in your profession. I guess that's the long and the short of that part of that discussion. What we're just talking about is, you could do it yourself, but you're going to have to, if you want to produce a 10-minute video every week, you're going to have to put in 3 to 4 hours into that video. Then it just becomes a question of, do you have the expertise to do that and the time to do that? Or does it make a lot more sense to export that or to outsource that to somebody else?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. There's a lot of small details where realistically editing a podcast doesn't have to take any more than an hour, depending on how much that you're doing. But for the average person that's getting into it, for about the first few, 3 to 4, maybe even 6 months, it's going to be 4 hours, just because there's so much technical stuff that they have to figure out. And either you figure it out or you keep looking like some junk thing that someone filmed on a phone, because you don't know how to even place the phone properly.
Right. What is the biggest challenges that you've come across as you've been breaking into this segment, into this market, that you are finding on the business level?
I think you kind of alluded to it already. It's just how fast things are changing. I imagine insurance year to year looks vastly different. Construction every 10 years, there's always new things that are being brought into the field. Tech, just by its nature, it's changing every day. And so much of these different programs are interconnected in a way that is kind of bewildering to behold. I mean, there are times where you'll be working on a project 1 week, you come back after the weekend, some driver's updated, and now your program's not functioning the way it used to before. And it might cause you some serious problems. And so you got to think fast. You got to have different alternative programs that you can rely on. And it's one of those things that will turn a 1 hour job into a 4 hour one.
Yeah, that's got to be frustrating to be sitting there. You've bid a job a certain way, you've planned it out, and then all of a sudden it's costing you double the amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. We're actually running through that right now with a particular project. We bid X amount because we were figuring it was going to take about 30 hours of work. I think we're going on close to 60, which is super cool.
So exciting.
Yeah, I love that.
What's been the most exciting project you've worked on so far?
You know what? We just finished a 13-part documentary series. This was a great example for someone who kind of needed short-term media production support. They were a heritage society that were running a park, And they had this one particular fellow who's getting up in years. He's about 80 years old. But the man basically built the park all by himself. He was moving these cabins that are 150 years old to just a little Ferndale. It's a little small town. But son of a gun, they wanted to put together something special since he's looking to kind of settle down. He's 80 years old. He's got to retire sometime. So they brought me in. They asked if I'd be able to put together some videos, and we put together one just to see how it looked. And they loved it because they realized just how powerful a well-produced video can be. And even if they're just talking about something that seems as mundane as this is a log cabin, you put that into a video format with the right music, with the right pacing, and all of a sudden it's not just about the cabin. There's so much more going on, and it becomes really powerful. And
yeah, I think that's interesting. Like, you think about it in general, just when it comes to media. That's old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. But with media, you're really combining both. Right? Like, you're taking that thousand word picture, but then you're putting words with it, and you're putting, oftentimes, like in your production with the Heritage Foundation, you're putting music with it. That's emotion, that's conveying so much more than a paragraph that you could type out about this guy and what he did.
And it's also about, it's like filling in the gaps. It's the way that they tell the stories about the cabin. And you can just have a flat shot on the fellow that's talking. And you know what? It'll convey the information entirely sufficiently. It'll be fine. But if you're able to join with that explanation, compelling visual information about what he's talking about, even if it's just like an orbiting shot of an artifact in that cabin, where all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is what he's talking about. Because of the way that you frame the object, it's not just a flat vase. No, the way that you've shot it upwards gives it significance. It shows that it has value. It's little things that, even if you can't explain it in words, your brain understands that there's information being conveyed to it. And so that's one of those things where any business can now look around their local area, and there's usually about one good videographer around them, and they understand these things. And they're the reason why a $1,000 camera can be valued at $10,000, because they're using it the right way to convey the right visual information.
Yeah. Well, and that does, what you described there perfectly does go back and address that. It is the picture's worth a thousand words, right? Because you can describe that vase, you can describe the artifact, you can try to tell somebody what it means and what it looks like and how it impacts them. But when you capture the essence of it with a video, it's so much more impactful, right? Like, it just drives home, like, okay, I understand now.
And it really does come back to that whole point where, even if you can't explain why something is compelling, your brain intuitively understands when something works and when something doesn't. And it's one of those reasons why you can look at the customer and say, in matters of tastes, the customer is always right. They might not be able to give you the right diagnostic explanation as to why this works or why this doesn't, but they're onto something. And it's our jobs as the professionals to figure out what it is that is working and what it is that isn't.
Yeah. You know, listening to you talk about the Heritage Foundation's project that you just worked on, it kind of makes me think about, like, because I often think about, I'm just very like focused on business, right? But my thinking about my business and businesses I interact with. And so I'm always kind of looking at something from the aspect of, how does this impact business? So the media, right, is a natural connection for, how does this help your business, right? Like, getting your name out there, showing people what you know and how you can help people. All that makes sense. But it also makes sense of what you're doing, what the Heritage Foundation was doing there, is to capture the essence of a person and a time that you miss. And I'm just thinking about like people that I've lost, right? My dad, my grandma, people that I know, that I knew well, that I can't share with my younger children because they just didn't know them. And I can show them pictures and I can tell them stories, which is cool, but there is something about that. And yeah, home videos are great, but man, it's like, that is something, like, maybe that's something people should be thinking about, is hey, as people get older, maybe you should be sitting them down with somebody with, mm-hmm. you know, be willing to spend $1,000 or whatever and sit down for an hour and have them tell the story of their life.
Yeah. It's funny that you make mention of that, because I don't think we've talked about this, but I was talking to someone just this last week. We're trying to put together this plan about me going to another part of the continent to film a video just like that. There's someone who's getting a little bit older in years. They're struggling through some medical conditions and they might not have another 5 years, but he's one of those fellas that will just have story after story. And it's like his whole thing, right? If he can lock a grandchild down into a room, he won't let them leave until 3 hours have passed and he's kind of gotten it all out of his system.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing. And so you want to catalog that. And for most people who are probably with that gentleman, you know, 60, 70, 80 years of age, they can't just figure out how to get all these cameras and lightings to work and sound equipment. And good heavens, they're not going to hold on to it or make use of it to justify the $10,000 worth of equipment. Pulling someone in that can do that at a good rate, and there can be really good rates for this kind of work, it's entirely within the ballpark. It's in the question. And I don't think people realize that that's available to them right now.
Right. And that's not something it's a different thought on the media production, right? Because media production, I think we tend to always think about it from a business standpoint. How do you impact your customers? How do you get out in front of them? How do you create high quality content that is relevant to the people around you? And I think that's a great question. And to your point, you can find a videographer. You should find a videographer in your area, make use of them, and budget that in. It should be part of your advertising budget to say, I'm going to spend X amount of money per month to build a online presence, because that's where people are. The other day I had my wife took out a phone book because we were looking to see if a name was in a phone book. And my daughter, who is 12, she was like, what is that? Like, she had no idea. We had to explain what a phone book was, because it was an old phone book we had just kicking around. But like, the old way of communicating your business and your value proposition and your information, the newspapers and the phone books just don't work anymore. You have to be digital. You have to be present on the internet, and you have to have video, because people are not going to sit there and read a 3-paragraph introduction to your business. They want to watch a 30-second video that's going to tell them who you are and what you're about.
Yeah, and there's so much to that, because you can either take out a piece of the paper, pay $1,000 a month, and you'll get there, and you will be seen by many, many old gentlemen that are sitting in cafes. Great, solid. If that's your clientele, go for it, 100%. Or you spend $1,000 and you get a few short videos done up of yourself. You post that every few weeks. You're going to get way more views. You're going to get way more meaningful engagement. People are going to recognize you in a more substantial way.
Right. Absolutely. So my transition was there. I was like, that's what we normally think of. And I think it's valid. I think it's super important. I think it's valid that if you're in business, you have to think about that way. If you're in sales, you have to think about that. Mm-hmm. If you're in marketing, you have to think about that. Which every business is in sales and marketing, by the way.
Yeah.
But in general, I don't think we've thought about media production, about catching a generation. And this, we're seeing a passing of a generation, right? Mm-hmm. And that happens, every few years. I mean, people are always passing away, but you're starting to see like a whole generation. My grandparents are all dying off. There's not as many of them left. They're pushing in their 90s, and that whole generation is going away, and that next generation is getting elderly. And I think that people they will regret it. I have on my cell phone a voicemail that my dad left me before he passed. And I treasure that. And I'm not going to delete that, because it means a lot to me. If I had the opportunity to go back in time and sit down with my dad and do a podcast and spend an hour just talking to him about what the things are important to him, and, you know, what would he tell my kids and my grandkids? Like, what are the things that transcend time that are super important? What are those things? What did you learn? What made you who you are? What are the mistakes you regret? And what are the things you would do again 100 times? Like, those questions as a young man, I don't always think about asking. And then I've heard a lot, and then I don't record it. And there's so many things that I know that my dad's told me, but I love that. Yeah. If I could have that in a file that I could share with my kids and with my grandkids, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. And it even just goes down to the way that people communicate, because there have been many people who are beautiful note writers, and they will write letters for the generations to come after. Every now and then I'll come across a story, and they're always the same, where it's like a father's been diagnosed. And so he'll write out a letter for his child who's just been born, and it's one for every year until he's 18 and something like that. And they're great stories. But video is something that is so much more accessible, and it's so much more natural for people. Once they kind of get past that initial shock of, I'm in front of a camera, all of a sudden they're just having a conversation, which is kind of why like podcasts are really fun, because you're not thinking about the camera. You're having a natural conversation. There just so happens to be a camera in the room. Having that camera to record it is naturalistic. It comes off like you're still having the conversation with the person, that you're still there with them. And as beautiful as the notes are, video, audio, it's just more transcendent.
Oh, for sure. For sure. All right. Hey, so Cole, I wanted to thank you for joining me today. It's been really fun talking about media and kind of lots of different facets of it. And I want to continue some conversations with you just on a personal level of where you're seeing media and how it's impacting your life, how it's impacting mine. There's some things I want to talk to you about it more. So we'll continue this conversation for next week. Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys join us. If you have questions that you want us to answer or want me to answer, feel free to send it to me at theagentinsider@gmail.com. If you want to find Cole and Brzenji Media Productions, it would be brzenjimediaproductions.com. Or if you Google podcast Lyndon Washington, podcast studio Lyndon Washington, you're going to find him as well. And he does a great job, and he'll work with you. If you're on a budget, I know that you're going to find something that works. Yeah. If you have something to say that you either just want, you know, the world of fishermen to know, or you want your grandkids to know, or you want your customers to know, Cole is going to be able to help you get it done inside of your budget, and get it done in a way that's going to look beautiful. So thank you, Cole. And let's continue our conversation for next week.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.